The Goodwill Station presents your governor, the Honorable G. Menon Williams, in a report to the people of Michigan. This is another in a series of visits with your governor, brought to the Goodwill Station's listening audience each week at this time as a public service, so that the citizens of Michigan can have a better understanding of the problems and affairs of their state government. Now to the Capitol at Lansing and Governor Williams.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. Michigan, and welcome to another of our weekly radio reports on the affairs of your state government. The legislature is back in Lansing. It has already begun consideration of the program which I have placed before it. I have told you about most of the items of that program, but there is one important recommendation on which I haven't had an opportunity to report to this radio audience. That is my proposal to lower the voting age from 21 to 18. This idea has been discussed widely during the last 10 years. Many prominent citizens and leaders of both political parties have endorsed it, but no action has ever been taken. I think it is time to submit this very important question to the people, and because it will require a vote of the people at the election next November, I decided to recommend it at this special session of the legislature. The legislature, by joint resolution, votes to submit this proposal to you at the polls. There will be ample time between now and November for thorough discussion and consideration of the issue. Our American system rests upon the idea that all who bear the duties of citizenship should also be given the rights of citizenship, particularly the right to a voice in the conduct of the government. Many times in the past, we have recognized this principle by extending the right to vote. Many years ago, we abandoned the idea that the ballot should be restricted to male citizens who own property. We have extended the voting right to those who do not own property, to members of minority races and creeds, and to the women of America. But there remains in our state a large group of citizens perfectly capable of voting, who are required to perform the duties of citizenship, but denied the rights of citizenship. I refer to those young people between the ages of 18 and the present voting age of 21. The Second World War demonstrated again that our younger citizens are full-fledged citizens. We drafted boys of 18 and sent them into battle, on land and sea and in the air. They showed that they could carry, with honor, the heaviest burdens of American citizenship. Many of them gave their lives to defend the government in which they were not permitted a voice. They were old enough to fight, but not old enough to vote. I think it is time we considered granting to these younger citizens the privilege of citizenship to go along with the duties of citizenship, which we do not hesitate to require of them. Michigan has much to gain from the addition of a youthful viewpoint to our political life. Michigan is a young state, a state which its bright history still in the future. Michigan is a state which only recently became a world-renowned center of American industrial genius. It is entirely fitting that such a state should permit the voice of its youth to be heard and the spirit of its youth to be felt in government. Those are some of the reasons why I recommended that the legislature put on next fall's ballot, for your decision, a constitutional amendment lowering the voting age from 21 to 18. Let me assure you on one point. The establishment of 18 as the voting age will not affect other age limits set by law. The Liquor Control Act, for example, specifies that no person may purchase alcoholic liquors before the age of 21. Lowering the voting age would have no effect on this 21-year limit for the purchase of liquor. In addition to the budget for the coming year, my message to the legislature opened the way for action on 17 questions. Three of these 17 questions are matters on which the legislature acted last year, but it failed to achieve its purpose. These three issues are the control of commercial fishing, the relief of our grape industry, and the so-called loophole-plugging amendments to the sales tax law. Last year, the legislature passed bills intended to help Michigan grape growers, and to control commercial fishing in certain areas, including Big and Little Bay to Knock near Escanaba. But I felt it necessary to veto both these bills because they contained dangerous and unworkable provisions. The grape bill, adopted last year, would have imposed a virtual tariff on wines brought into Michigan from other states. This would have invited retaliation against Michigan products sold outside the state. The fishing bill had an amendment tacked on it to permit use of nets at 100 feet of depth. The Conservation Department informed me this would destroy fish life in the affected waters. So I vetoed both these bills. Now, I propose to the legislature that the fishing and grape questions be dealt with in a proper manner. I have recommended certain measures for Michigan grape growers to help them compete with other states. And I have proposed that fishing regulations be enacted without the 100-foot net provision. Last year, the legislature, yielding to promises of additional revenue, passed certain amendments to the sales tax law. Among other things, it changed the meaning of the word sale at retail and the word person, as these terms occur in the law. The full results of this change were not apparent to anyone until opinions were asked of the Attorney General last fall. An exhaustive study of the law showed that these amendments actually go much farther than mere tightening of sales tax collections. They extend the sales tax to many areas not before covered. For example, it is possible that we may have to collect tax on rentals of such things as linens, automobiles, and bicycles. The 3% tax has already been applied to sales of liquor at state stores and private merchants, and to sales made by blind people who sell products made at a state institution. This is a good example of the results of trying to meet the state's financial problem by so-called loophole plugging in the sales tax law. The proponents of such legislation were trying to avoid the necessity of additional taxes, but they did not succeed in accomplishing that purpose. They succeeded only in extending the sales tax to many consumer items, which it did not cover before. I am in favor of very tight collection of the sales tax from all who are now subject to it, but I am not in favor of extending the sales tax to new areas. Many legislators apparently are. They think we should bring more transactions under the sales and use taxes. There have been suggestions that we should put a 3% privilege tax on transfers of used cars and tax the use of farm machinery. I do not agree with these ideas. And I am quite sure that if I open the sales tax law to amendment at this time, some of these ideas would be tried. A bill to tax used cars has already been offered in the Senate, although I do not believe it can be legally adopted, since it was not included in my message. So it is extremely likely that those who want to repeal the 1949 sales tax amendments would be disappointed if the subject were open. And on the contrary, further extensions of the sales tax would be made. I am sure you wouldn't want that to happen. But there is one point in connection with this loophole plugging on which everyone seems to want action, including legislative leaders of both parties and the sponsors of the amendments in question. The belated discovery of the full effect of these changes left many honest businessmen out on a limb, because they didn't know about the new sales tax provisions they didn't collect from their customers. If the law were literally enforced, these men would have to pay as much as 6 months back sales taxes out of their own pockets. To avoid such an injustice to innocent citizens, I have opened the way to cancellation of these taxes. I have already told you about the tax program I have recommended. For a corporation profits tax, like 32 other states now levy. I have told you about my proposal for a road building program, for a seal of quality bill to help Michigan farmers, for tightening welfare administration, for reestablishing the Mackinac Bridge Authority, and for improving our Unemployment Compensation and Old Age Assistance Acts. Another important item in the 17 questions I have submitted to the legislature, which I have not told you about, is a recommendation that automobile finance charges be subjected to some legal control. A bill to accomplish this objective was introduced in the last legislative session. It passed the Senate, but was defeated in the House of Representatives. But a legislative study committee was established to look further into the question, and this committee has shown me a report. The report indicates that excessive finance charges are being made on certain automobile sales. I think it is the duty of the state to intervene when its citizens are subjected to this kind of injustice. The bill to curb excessive automobile finance charges will have bipartisan support. Speaking of a legislative study committee, brings me to what I consider to be one of the most important points in this legislative program. I am strongly in favor of a study of state government reorganization along the lines of the so-called Hoover Commission in the federal government. It has been my contention all along that this job could best be done by a law establishing such a commission of prominent citizens, entirely separate from state government itself. I feel that when recommendations for the elimination of jobs and bureaus come from a committee responsible either to the legislature or to the governor alone, that these recommendations are sometimes suspected of political motives. Much better it would be if citizens appointed by both the legislative and executive branches, having no axes to grind, should study the question and make the recommendation. However, a legislative study committee on the reorganization of state government is already in action. I have the highest respect for the integrity and sincerity of the legislators on this committee, and I am giving them my fullest cooperation. They are in the process of appointing a citizens' advisory committee. Believing this move to streamline our government should have a strong foundation, I have recommended that the legislature, by resolution, specify the powers and duties of this citizens' advisory committee. That would give it greater legal standing, and its recommendations a higher degree of public respect. In addition to these things, I have proposed that the legislature permit townships to have housing authorities, that it permit incorrigible and mentally ill boys to be taken out of the boys' vocational school at Lansing, that it permit communities to zone the height of buildings around airports, and that it set up a committee to study ways of preventing tragedies like the Birmingham explosion in which 5 people were killed. This is a modest program. Last year in the regular session, the legislature passed more than 300 bills. I have proposed thus far that this session deal with only 17 issues. These issues are either emergency matters or they are things like the Farm Bill and the Mackinac Bridge Authority, on which long public discussion has ultimately come to a head in demand for action. Some of these items are for the particular benefit of individual groups who need help. But in the larger sense, every one of these proposals is for the benefit of all the people of Michigan, because all of us feel the effects in some degree if any group among us is in distress. The prosperity of each of us depends ultimately upon the prosperity of all. The welfare of the people of Michigan is indivisible.
You have been listening to your governor, the Honorable G. Menin Williams, in another of a series of weekly reports to the people of Michigan. Your governor is presented as a public service by the Goodwill Station to help create a better understanding of the problems and affairs of our state government. We invite you to be with us 1 week from tonight at 10:45 for another report from your governor.